Over the planet, maybe even up on the space station.
They might do that. We also are the people who always say that Texas history begins in El Paso. And we say that because it's correct. And
that's
also,
right.
Today we're going to have trivia, right?
Lots of trivia. Yes, we're going to have two questions in the second hour. And for the correct trivia question answer, we have two wonderful coupons from Pepe's New Mexican Food in Canutillo.
$20 each.
$20, yes. So get in there and listen very carefully so you can have the correct answers later on in the second hour.
I think I'm going to end up at Pepe's today and the train show tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to be at the train show today and tomorrow, I just realized.
It's a biggie.
Yes, I won't be at Pepe's, but you can come out and see us perform. Six Guns of Shady Ladies will be performing at the train show today at 3 p.m.
You got the big one at 3, but I think you have a couple of skits ahead.
They're
going to
be, yeah, we're going to be playing around in the afternoon. As soon as I get out of here, I'm blowing out of here, go get dressed and get down to the show. But it'll be fun. Come on out.
All right, we also have a history moment, as normal.
Yes, we are. And this one's an interesting one, and it's the first black police officers in El Paso who had to work really hard to be accepted by both the Hispanic and the white El Pasoans at that time.
It was an interesting time. El Paso could be noted primarily for being one of the first desegregated places on the border anywhere, right?
Yeah,
frankly.
Amazing.
All right, talking today about history in El Paso, we decided to find a man who actually was responsible for some of the history. Mm. And he has seen a lot of
the history.
And he also knows a whole lot of stuff. And he happens to be a former mayor of El Paso. And it's not Ben Dowell.
No.
It's Larry Francis.
It's a little later.
Larry Francis is here. Hey, dude, how are you?
Okay. I appreciate y'all inviting me.
I think he needs a mic there.
Ben Dowell was the first guy who was mayor.
He has an interesting history.
He does, indeed. Sergio, what do we do about this microphone
here? You got it?
Keep talking. We'll find you a microphone. I think he's going to have me.
It's a conspiracy.
It is.
That one's working.
There we go. Try that one.
Okay, how's that?
There we go. That's much better.
Is this live radio or what?
Well, we can talk history.
There you go.
And... And I'm qualified to talk either about dinosaurs or...
Oh, even more fun. But the couple of things...
Are those your tracks up there on the side of the mountain?
Yep, that's me.
Were you there chasing them to make those guys make that? Well, you've been doing a lot of stuff here. Now, you were not born in El Paso. You're from San Antonio originally, right?
I was born in San Antonio. I lived there 8 years, and my dad was transferred here with the General Electric Company in 1941.
General Electric?
GE.
Correct. And just for World War II.
And so you were a war baby, you got to...
No, I was a depression baby.
Oh, well, of course.
1933, now you know I'm 86.
Okay. But you went to, you got a degree in electrical engineering at A&M.
I have both a master's and a bachelor's in electrical engineering at A&M.
And you founded a communications company.
Francis Communications, which our oldest son took over.
And so that's all stuff that's been in the past and ongoing. And so then you ended up deciding, well, I want to be mayor.
You know, that was an interesting decision. I was great friends with Jonathan Rogers. He and I played golf together for years. After he left, there we had two mayors, Susie Azar and Bill Tilney. And the city seemed to be floundering a little, especially financially. Jonathan Rogers never asked me or encouraged me to run for mayor. I surprised him. I said, John, I'm running for mayor. He looked at me and he says, nobody knows you.
Who are you?
That's right. What makes you think you can do that? Well, I ran and I got elected. Landslide, Larry, I won by about 200 votes.
What year was that?
1993.
93, okay.
I served two terms, and they were the longest two terms, I think.
In your life, for sure, it sounds like.
It caused a lot of physical problems. But when I arrived at City Hall, we had a number of issues that the public wasn't aware of facing us. One of the biggest was financial. Under Bill, as you may recall, the finances got so bad that he stopped watering the parks and was cutting the street lights out.
This is 92, 93.
That's right, 91 through 90. And it wasn't his fault, but that's what he got. So our finances were in the pits. When I get there, in order to balance the budget at the end, he took $1 million out of the airport trust fund because state law says the city budget has to be in balance at the end of the year. Or they can come in and take over the city.
Ooh. Ooh.
So he took $1 million out of the trust fund, which is not legal. That trust fund is monitored by the FAA, and any money that goes in it has to be spent on airport activities, whether it's improving the facilities, advertising. They built Butterfield Golf Course with it. So I get there. The first thing, I have a call from the director of the FAA in Fort Worth, said, you've taken $1 million out of the fund, and we want it. That's like not paying your taxes.
That doesn't make them happy.
No. On top of that, we have this deficit we're running, and so I have to step in. The three rating agencies were threatening to cut the city's bond rating. It would have cost us millions of dollars. I go to Washington, I mean to New York, sit down with them, Fitch, S&P, and Moody's, and they say, look, from the outside, we had not been able to complete a financial statement for a year and a half.
What?
The city couldn't get it done. They look at me and they said, why? We've got to protect our customers. It looks from the outside, from what we hear, you've taken money illegally from a federal fund. You can't produce a financial statement. It looks pretty bad. And it's our job to tell the investing public what's going on down there. That would have killed us.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a song and dance. They agreed to wait and give me, since I was new, give me a chance to. And over a period of time, I was able, one, to reduce expenses, and three, correct the income side of it. But it was a real, real tough situation that the public wasn't aware of.
Welcome to the mayorhood, huh? Surprise.
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 Now, you said that was one of them. You had more surprises like that?
Well, if you recall, we had a number of construction projects that had failed. You remember the zoo?
Oh, the zoo.
We had two contractors in a row go broke and draw all the money out of the bond fund for the zoo.
Oh.
But they didn't spend it on the zoo.
Well, it was a combination. We're going to leave it there, not why it happened.
Just
but
say
it
didn't work. Got to move on.
Right. So I step in. It looked like Berlin in 1945.
Oh, my.
So I call Paco Jordan, who was one of our most reputable clients. I said, Paco, I want you to go in there and look at that and finish it. And I'll find the money. The money had been spent. And Paco went down there. There were no plans. The city engineering department had hired a woman who claimed to be an expert in zoos. And she had some drawings, and that was it. And she, so we, I got, Paco came in and finished it. And I had to find the money, which I did. We had things like Hawkins Street Pool that had been closed for almost 7-8 years. It had cracked.
I remember that.
You remember
yeah.
that? I had to find the money and get somebody competent to do the engineering work and fix that. And, of course, the one that everybody was aware of was the electric company. And that was the elephant in the room.
Oh, yeah.
And as we were talking earlier, I had a background in electrical engineering, and in college I had done load studies for all the electric utilities. I knew a lot more about the electric company in some cases than their own employees.
Well, you've been working for General Electric. You've been doing electrical
well,
stuff.
I did for a short time. I was in Building 1, and I did the final test on Unit 2, the generating unit, at Rio Grande plant.
So you knew El Paso Electric from the inside, kind of?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my. And was anybody aware that you had this background?
I don't know. I didn't tell them.
Interesting.
So when I start looking, the company was bankrupt when I arrived. I started, and they were in the process of merging with a company called Central and Southwest, which was a conglomerate of five public utilities that had gone bankrupt on the South Texas nuclear. They never finished that.
So you had a bunch of companies that weren't working wanting to buy you. Electric company.
Which happened to a lot of companies back that time period, didn't it?
That's right.
It's this misery loves company kind of thing.
Of course, El Paso Electric had entered into the Palo Verde project as a partner for 15%. It was causing, and this was one of the basic problems that caused their problem. But they made a terrible mistake. They decide first. They come to the city and say, "We're going to get into Palo Verde, and we need a rate increase." City gave it to them, and that was a good decision to get into Palo Verde. Palo Verde, of course, costs accelerate. They come back for another rate hike. They get it. About that time, the management of the electric company decides that they want to be the savior of downtown.
Oh, here it comes.
Which is nothing wrong with that. The only problem is, if they would have done it on their own, on the outside, it would have been perfectly legal. But the El Paso Electric is a regulated utility who's guaranteed a return on their assets, not necessarily a profit. And it's the ratepayer, the citizens' money, that keeps them in business. They decide to sell half of their 15% to an investment bank on Wall Street on a sale and lease back. In other words, they get several hundred million dollars in cash to put in their pocket and then turn around and agree to lease that half, getting the power for the city. That doesn't work in a utility because the ratepayers had already paid for this once. Now they were going to pay for that half twice.
So here you got the electric company of El Paso getting involved in the real estate business of downtown. They think they need to save it, but it's against the rules of basically how they operate.
They did it the wrong way.
Well, Larry Francis is in here, former mayor of El Paso. Larry, we got to take a break here.
Which
is why I'm interrupting you, because now you gather your thoughts. And after the break, let's come rolling into this electric company issue. And like, what the heck happened? Because a utility going bankrupt is a bit unusual, but because they got into the real estate business, Melissa.
Well, yeah.
That's not in the charter.
Utilities have a tendency sometimes to get a little crazy, so. Well, I've seen it in other parts of the country.
We got to take a break and come back and do this again. You got a phone number for people if they wish
to
call
us? If
they'd
like to give us a call, they can call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Welcome to Zip Hole USA, Boycott Edition. All it takes is someone to disagree for a boycott to start. But do some take it too far? For the latest opinions direct from the Zip app, here's Christina Stoffo.
Listen, if some company is doing or supporting terrible things, boycott and put them out of business. But are some known boycotts worth the effort? Take Chick-fil-A, for example. The owner said in an interview over 6 years ago that he believes in traditional marriage of a man and woman. You could totally disagree with him, but have you ever seen Chick-fil-A refuse to serve gay couples at their restaurants? Almost 100% of Zipollers say no, they never have. In fact, Chick-fil-A was voted the friendliest fast food restaurant in an extensive study by QSR, yet airports like San Antonio and Buffalo have recently banned Chick-fil-A from opening stores there. Do you believe this boycott has been taken too far? Another big number at around 78% of votes on Zipoll say yes, too far for too long. And more film companies are vowing to stop filming in Georgia because because of a new abortion law making it illegal once a fetal heartbeat is detected. Do you support the boycott of Georgia filming? 37% say yes, the law is anti-woman's choice. The other 63% of Zip pollers say no, the law has nothing to do with making TV shows.
Thanks, Christina. Download Zip Poll USA in your favorite app store today. Share your opinions and make sure your voice is heard. We'll have poll results every day on the trending topics taken directly from the Zip app. Thanks for listening to Zip Poll USA.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Larry Francis is in here. We got him talking about all kinds of interesting things. We'll get back to that in a minute. But just to let you know, we do have some El Paso History TV coming up in June on ABC7. Bernie Sargent will be there looking at you, talking about ASARCO. Let's see what else we got him doing there.
We had him running all over town.
He was Crystal Ray. He's doing several different pieces, and we'll have those in the first 4 weeks of June is when those will air. And you can see the other ones he's done. El Paso History TV is on YouTube. YouTube, look at that channel, El Paso History TV, and you'll see 8 pieces that Bernie Sargent has done on ABC7, explaining little pieces of what's the history of El Paso.
At least I'll know where he is.
Well, occasionally you'll know where he is. But you may remember in the old days, Leon Metz used to do these things. And so now we got me producing him and Bernie out there on camera. I've got more archives than those people did in the past.
Oh, geez.
Oh, I've got Crystal Ray.
We've got so much history out there. It's incredible.
Anyway, so that's what's coming up on El Paso History TV. All right, May 21st, 6 p.m., First Thanksgiving of the Southwest. The 1598 reenactment performance will be at Pebble Hills High School. And this is where they basically have Joe Estala. He is the guy that works at the high school and got these kids tuning into the First Thanksgiving as part of their curriculum.
Which is great.
And choir director will be there. It's a really good stuff. It's very accurate. So you might want to take a look at that. That's May 21st, 6 p.m. at Pebble Hills High School.
Well, I've got the El Paso Mission Trail Association is celebrating along the river and the trail as part of the Preservation Month programs. And they're going to have an open house on May 26th. From 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the El Paso Mission Trail Visitors Center. And this program is going to have different things. They're going to have speakers. They're going to have, from the Mission Trail Association, they're going to have flamenco dancing, Spanish classical renaissance guitarists, classical pianist, all kinds of great things going on. So it's a great way to learn more about the Mission Trail, go down to visit the center, which is a little museum in itself, and appetizers and refreshments, and it's all free. And this is located at 9065 Alameda Street, and it's free and open to the public. And if you want more information, call 474-1800.
You know what that building used to be?
That used to be the house of
Lowenstein.
That's right, the Lowenstein.
He was
house.
A major trade person down there in that part of the world.
Buddy of Panchovia.
Buddy of Panchovia, he actually was. Yeah. I've asked Larry Francis to take a look at a menu here, Larry. What we're going to do today? I want to go to Pepe's for lunch today. He's a sponsor. So if we have our guests pick a special, any one of those normal entrees becomes a special because you picked it. And today, pick one, any one of those. We got 1 through 3, then you get the ones below it. Whatever the price is, today it becomes $6.
Well, today I kind of favor the combination number 2.
Number 2, what's in that?
Well, in number 2 is 2 roll tacos, green enchilada, tamale, frijoles, slaw, and rice.
That's it. That's $6 today. Number 2 is the special. Thank you, Larry Francis. See, you didn't think you were going to have anything important to do today.
That's the first job I've had since City Hall.
That's it. You see, you did that well. You did that very well.
He was trying to tell me he's been retired longer than he has working. And I said, no, you're not a man that would just retire and go fish somewhere.
Well, yeah, but
he's always doing something.
But the stuff that you've done, I mean, I see on your list here, it says you do carpentry. Have you picked up a hammer lately?
You know, I built, for about 15 years, I built some very nice furniture. Dining room sets. I mean, really enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah.
About 15 years ago, one day I told my wife, I think I'm going to saw a thumb off here. So I sold it all to a twin plant. I had a huge shop.
You sold it before you sawed off that thumb.
You know,
I see both of your thumbs looking like they're here.
Every once in a while I'll do something right.
If you're thinking that way, you're a smart person, because that's usually when you start to have problems and the splinters start to get bigger.
I think that's fabulous. And other interests are golf. Now, you do golf on a regular basis.
Well, I participate at my age. I still play once a week, twice a week. But I'm not the golfer I was 40 years ago.
Yeah,
but you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to keep score if you don't want to.
Well, no. Those guys still take money
I was going to say, they still play for money.
Oh, there's still a bottom line going on
here. I've seen this
here.
Group play occasionally. I've been behind them once in a while.
Oh, my goodness. Interesting stuff. And also, a couple things you were a part of here, the chairman of this El Paso Civil Service Commission. What was that?
Well, that's a very important commission. They oversee all the city employees and administer the Civil Service Corps.
Okay.
Which there's a couple of things I'm going to touch on here a little later. I learned more about City Hall than any mayor, because I had inside information on all the employees and department heads. I'd learned on the commission, because night after night we administer the code. In other words, it's like a court.
Okay, I see. So you got involved. See, interesting guy. You got involved with electricity and electrical stuff before you became mayor. So when you get the electrical company issues, you already knew half of it that they didn't know. And then this time you got into the commission business. This is great.
Well, and that's nice, because you come with experience. And a lot of times you get people in there into offices, political offices and such, that have no experience.
But they had a good looking campaign poster.
Yeah.
Well, let's be fair. Most people that run for these jobs think they can help.
Yeah.
They have no idea what they're getting into. And there's an old saying among the employees at City Hall, mayors come and go, and we stay here forever.
It's true.
So it's a situation you inherit that becomes difficult. I probably was the only mayor that was hands-on. I hated cutting ribbons and going to dinners. But I was out there in those department heads' face every day. And there, as far as I know, most mayors preferred to sit in mayor's office and let it just happen.
Or delegate. Yeah.
But also, you were there before the mayor changed, the mayor
we had a
structure
strong
changed.
We had a strong mayor former government that we've had since Ben Dow.
But then you have city manager after you, right?
That came in John Cook.
Okay, so we need to talk about that distinction. Larry Francis is in here. Right now we have a phone call. Let's take the phone call and see what that's about. Look at all these topics we got to go through. This is a lot of stuff going on. Jorge is on the radio, dude. Good morning.
Hey, dude. Good morning.
Good morning, Jorge.
Hey, Melissa, I'm glad to talk to you this morning, because given that all the troubles that El Paso experienced prior to your tenure as mayor, and speaking to the individual who's most responsible for the resolution of those troubles, it's a great opportunity for me to ask you in this format a question not necessarily relative to those troubles, but going back before those troubles, about the electric company. The electric company at one time was proposed to go municipal, to be municipally owned, and there was an effort to prevent that from occurring. And do you know any of that history as to what that all was about, essentially?
Well, if you're talking,
yes, he does.
of course, the electric company had been a fine company for years, for decades. When it went broke, there was a number of citizens that started lobbying to make it a municipal utility like San Antonio and Austin. I was dead set against that. It just, they can't be run efficiently. Just can't be. And while the electric company, as we were getting into, made some serious mistakes, the answer was not to take them inside the city. City departments have a hard time functioning efficiently just by the very nature of the beast. So I said, we won't entertain any idea of taking it into the city.
You mean it would become a city department kind of thing?
Right.
Oh,
just like public service.
And so your city council will be responsible for the electric company putting power lines up through New Mexico.
Well,
that's nuts.
They wouldn't necessarily outside of our jurisdiction, but we'd be responsible for the building the infrastructure. As the city grew, we'd have to add generation.
Bigger stuff, yeah.
And that's not the forte of government.
Jorge, we're going to get more into this. You have a specific other question?
No, that essentially was it. But what really got me to asking a question was, I was harking back to when Ray Salazar was the mayor of El Paso. And at that time then, too, there was, again, the initial effort to cause electric company to become municipal. I wondered if you knew any of its history.
Under Ray Salazar?
Well, actually, there was movements afoot several times in the past before me. Either the company would raise rates, which caused everybody to have heartburn, and we need to take that thing public where we can control it.
Oh, I see the attitude. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yes, under Ray, we had another situation, I think, under Jonathan, and it's an ongoing deal, but it's not the answer.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
You'll hear more about it. Thanks for ringing up here.
To your program. Thank you.
Thanks, Jorge.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
It's going to be an interesting day to see how Jamie, I tell you what, take that call off. I can't get that call off the air. Sergio, yeah. My buttons don't work in here. Did my son Andrew take the buttons with him?
You can't push anybody's buttons, huh?
Apparently not. So I'm not sure how that's going to work. Anyway, Larry Francis is in here. We got him hogtied here for a couple hours. No, he's free to go. But he'll be here talking about stuff. Oh, by the way, I didn't ask you, but if you're interested in going to Pepe's later, I'll buy you lunch.
You know, I've got to get back home to my wife and to my gin rummy game.
Oh, there you go. There are priorities.
Speaking of some dollars on the table.
Bottom line stuff here.
But Larry, I appreciate the offer.
All right. Well, at some point, we'll catch up with you on lunch. In the meantime, we can take another break here. Call us up if you like to. Or what are you doing on Facebook
already?
Well,
I'm trying to get on Facebook right now. We're having fun fighting here. We're kind of there, kind of out. My internet's not working really well today. So I will
I'm
be there
shortly.
I'm having
issues myself. So.
Yes, I know. Yeah, you got blue screen.
Try the phone.
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now, 1-800-900-6131. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-900-6131. That's 1-800-900-6131. 1-800-900-6131.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
There is a train show. There's a train show today, and it's also tomorrow.
Yes.
But I think it's going on to them right about now-ish. to past 3 o'clock when the six guns come out and rob the darn train.
Blow up the car.
Well, we're talking big. We're talking a real big old locomotive that used to sit out in front of Union Station. 3420 is its number. They got it parked out there at Freeport Mac Moran. You go take off the freeway, you go down the hill on Hawkins, and it'll be the second right. The first Freeport entrance is a bunch of big oil tanks. Don't go there.
Yes.
Go to the second one where there's a park. And that's where this all is going on today.
It's a beautiful little park.
Well, they've,
yeah.
got, they've got a pavilion there, and they're putting in all of their model trains.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that's the best part.
To come
too.
See all that.
Yeah.
And then they got train people. You want to talk train?
Yeah,
crash.
It's probably the train they're going to rob is the model train, knowing six
now,
guns.
Well, no, they've got big guns and a bigger train to work with. Because that 3420 is a full size old yeah. but goody. So that's going on today down there, free admission.
Food.
It's a 1904 steam locomotive and a 1929 caboose. And it got souvenirs for sale down there, for a free party train hat for every child. Are you ready for that?
Ooh.
A party hat.
I want one.
One other announcement going on. Please join the UTEP Department of History's Dr. Jeffrey Shepherd and research fellows. They're doing a new collaborative to document the history and contemporary presences of Native people in the Paso del Norte borderlands. Who was here prior to Oñate? They got that working up there. May 29th is the lecture, 5:30 to 7 at the UTEP Library.
Library.
There's no R in library. What?
The El Paso Museum of History presents its 50th anniversary exhibition of El Paso Community College. You can come on down and view this commemorative exhibition that celebrates EPCC's 50th anniversary and history of providing high-quality, affordable education that has transformed our region. And the city of El Paso will be celebrating its 146th birthday on Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 19th, from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. I can't read. Put my glasses on here.
Those
right?
numbers change in front of you?
Well, I got one eye here. Okay. They will be hosting a fun event for the entire family, and they will have food trucks, vendors, games for families, the mascot dance-off. This I got to see. Entertainment music.
A mascot dance-off? What does that even mean?
That's got to be the Chihuahua dog from across the street.
I see. And then the
San Diego bringing chicken my leash. Shows up. I'm bringing my collar, my, you know, tag collar. entertainment music, a cash bar.
Pepper spray, too.
Well, again, a cash bar. I love how they're promoting that. Birthday cake and so much more. And this is going to happen at Cleveland Square Park on Sunday the 19th. Again, from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. In front of the History Museum. So, Feliz Cumpleaños, El Paso.
Can you imagine being the guy that has to take care of that lawn? In front of the History Museum. It always gets trampled by somebody.
Well, Bernie will be trampling it. He'll be there. He'll be on hand. He's on the foundation boards.
So. Back to the train show. The train show is both days, today and tomorrow.
So
and
you got a lot of things going
And you
on.
Got this birthday party thing going down there at the History Museum.
Go to that.
Tomorrow.
Then come over to the party.
You can do all kinds of stuff here. Well, you know, there's a lot to do in this little world of ours. And a lot of it has to do with...
Nothing to do.
Well, El Paso history is huge. And I was amazed as about a 29-year-old kid, I realized coming back to El Paso to visit after I moved away, I'm realizing there's a lot going on here nobody told me.
Yeah.
I mean, the history of El Paso, to me, is fascinating. And we have Larry Francis in here, a mayor of El Paso at one time, and you admit that.
I admit it.
You did it. Yeah, you did it.
And he actually wasn't here when the dinosaurs were here.
No, but I do want to ask you, I mean, you rolled in here as an 8-year-old. Where'd you go to school?
Colwell in Austin.
Okay. So you were not taught your history of local any more than I was, really.
Whatever the public schools taught.
Which was nothing. Because that's the problem. El Paso history is fabulous. And nobody knows it when they graduate from high school.
Well, I think some do.
Because they went to Loretta or they went to a private school.
Now, wait a minute.
I went to public school for years here. My father was an educator.
Well, your father was a great one.
And if he was here today, I'd yell at him.
Well, we had Texas history, and we had a little El Paso history, mainly because if you had a teacher that was involved and was from here, she might want to tell you things like that.
Exactly, but see, that's not in the curriculum.
No, it's not.
That's an individual effort, and a lot of them are librarians who do that.
Yeah.
The librarians around have bought a lot of our videos that we used to make, and they put them in there for study hall or whatever to run them.
Didn't you people have history teachers here at school? We had history teachers when I was going to school.
I remember everything about Europe was told us.
Well, we were taught.
World War II.
Yeah.
But you guys in California had a full year.
It was not just a year. We were taught all the time different history about California.
Well, see, that's why you think you know what you're talking about, because you were taught that. El Paso does not teach the history in the classes.
I know, but I'm just like, didn't you have history teachers?
Okay, I mean, I was 45 years old when I finally figured out what is the Mission Trail versus the Camino Real.
They're different.
They're the same tarmac. It's the same road.
Well, but it's a different issue.
Of course, but it's the same road. Well, and I always thought I was going to go down there and look for 10 different roads. It's all the same thing.
Well, I don't know that I agree with that.
No, I'm talking about in our Mission Trail, it is the same physical route of the Camino Real.
But it's here in El Paso County.
We have our Mission Trail.
That's right.
We have 42 miles of the Camino Real.
The Camino Real went all the way to Santa Fe.
And all the way to Mexico City. And we have the middle 42 miles.
Okay.
And if we didn't have our 42 miles, the other two ends wouldn't make a difference. Because they wouldn't connect. If we didn't connect them, they wouldn't talk to each other.
Well, maybe the city built it.
Oh, yeah, you want to put a tariff on it? No. We're not going there.
A toll road.
I told you not to do that.
Which, actually, they used to have toll roads in the old days.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. No. I mean, how did the Crusaders get over to the
Holy
Land?
It was really
Land?
Rough, you
they
know?
They had to pay the Knights Templars to get them. Whatever. But the thing about El Paso history is it is such a fascinating history, and it's not that well known, Larry. It's not.
It isn't.
And we're doing what we can single-handed here to push the information back out. And some of the pieces of the puzzle, like the time when you were mayor, 93, 97,
mm-hmm.
Okay, that time frame with the electric company is something that people don't really totally understand. Pick that back up again.
Well, as we pointed out, they'd gone bankrupt. And when I got there the first week, I sat up in my office on the 10th floor for about 4 hours one night because I had to make a decision on how far I was going to carry that. First off, a lot of people would accuse a politician like they do nationally now of picking an issue for political purposes, climate or something. I didn't want that. All I wanted was to preserve El Paso Electric as a company located here with all the jobs and management here. The way it was going in the bankruptcy, they were going to be acquired by a Dallas utility, as I've said. This would not help us at all. There were side issues that were very, very disturbing, and I had to decide whether to bring those out or not, and I elected not to, which I was starting to get into before. All I wanted to do was save the company. Now, let me say up front, David Wiggs had come in as the interim CEO, and he was very responsive. If it hadn't been for David, we would have never got it done. As I started to mention, they got into Palo Verde, which was a bad financial situation. But they did the right thing in getting in. Where they made the mistake was deciding that they wanted to preserve downtown and use ratepayer money to do it with.
Started buying buildings.
That's right. Nothing wrong with that if they'd have done it on their own, like Paul Foster.
Yeah, but this was in a utility company doing this.
Within
the company.
With your money, without your approval.
Right, I didn't vote for it, yeah.
So this meant the people in management, the board, and their outside counsel did not get involved and say, you shouldn't do this. If they hadn't gotten in, they formed Franklin Land with the money they raised by selling their part interest in Palo Verde.
So they had a bunch of money.
And they start spending it. They buy the Del Norte and built a big addition. They bought the Cortez.
So the electric company put the addition on the Paso Del Norte Hotel? Oh, my. Okay.
Jordan Noble built it.
But in the Cortez, you said the hotel?
They bought that. And if you recall, built a fancy boardroom on the top floor.
Yep.
That's right.
Then they really went crazy. They started buying businesses. In the end, they bought a lighting manufacturer in New Jersey and a defunct savings and loan, I think, in Nebraska.
Why?
With our money.
Why? Okay. Well, I don't know why.
Well,
bad advice.
I was faced with, when I went on the air on that Sunday morning on KTSM-TV, and said the city would not support the merger. We were going to fight it to the end. People at that point thought it was politics. We fought for 2 years, tooth and nail, in front of the bankruptcy court in Austin and the Public Utility Commission in Austin. And I said, we will not issue the new company a franchise. And finally, Central and Southwest, who was, if you looked at their financial statement, wasn't in much better shape than El Paso Electric. They went broke 2 years later.
Oh.
We would have been back in the tub.
Oh.
Finally, they threw in, because they didn't have the money to keep fighting, they threw in the towel. David called me and said, can you meet with us in a law office in Dallas? Fine. Ken Beasley, myself, our two outside lawyers, went to Dallas, went to the law office, went to the boardroom, and they had a conference table that was longer than our runway here at the airport.
Ooh.
Four of us sitting on one side, electric company officials on the other, and behind them was about 75 lawyers representing all of the creditors who had a vital interest in this. David opened the meeting and asked me, he said, Larry, will you support the merger? I said, David, you know the answer. The answer is no. So he said, can we adjourn? He then has to talk to those 75 lawyers and say, guys, you've lost. We reconvene. He said, ask me, what do you want to get this settled? And I said, David, you have about $2.7 billion in debt. I want you to write it down to 1.2. And in return, the city will give you a 10-year rate freeze to allow you to get back on your feet. He said, fine. I said, let's let the lawyers work out the details. 30 days later, they did. We signed. And the company came back as the new El Paso Electric. Now, here's an issue the public needs to be aware of and concerns me. The bankruptcy court's only job is to try and make sure the creditors get repaid. They have no other responsibility. So since they didn't get paid, they got all the stock in the new company. And Judy Mencher, who is the workout specialist for Fidelity, engineered the deal. She appointed three directors from investment banks, two in L.A. and one in Wall Street, as directors. They had no interest in operating a utility. They only wanted their money back. As a result, from the day the new company started, Jim Haynes being the first president, He was fighting constantly. These directors wanted to invest no money in the company. They wanted to add no generation. There's a loophole, not a loophole, but a section of the utility law that says a company can go out on the grid and buy power from other companies if they need it. They use that, and you have to pay it's whatever the traffic will bear.
Right.
They forced the company to do that instead of adding generation with the city expanding.
Oh, so that's what the directors thought was a good idea. They thought that was a better idea.
That's right. They didn't. And we've been fighting that. We finally got control of the boards some 7-8 years ago. And that's when if Tom Shockley came in and we built all the generation out on the east side, we've refurbished the entire company. And I say we. I'm not in.
Well, but you were very interested in the outcome.
That's right, yeah.
Well, interesting stories. Larry Francis is the guy we're talking to. We've got to take another break here. We got one more break before the top of the hour. Next hour, we're going to get into different kind of stuff. But in the meantime, people could call us if they wish to do so. One just came in, apparently.
Yes.
And what do you got in the number?
Well, I'm also going to have his picture up on Facebook in a few seconds. And you can also call us. Well, that's the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page. Or call us at 544-5876-544-KTSM.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one.
Where's Crawford?
At the Crawford Buick GMC location by the airport.
You remember Cash for Cluckers?
Bring your Clucker to Crawford Buick GMC today. It's the terrific Crawford Cash for Cluckers program.
Push it, pull it, drop it, regardless of condition.
Mr. Crawford says, make them an offer they can't refuse.
The entire value of the offer will be deducted from the bottom line.
On any new Buick or GMC.
And on the entire used car and truck inventory.
Only at the Crawford Buick GMC location by the airport. This hot-selling 2019 Buick Encore. Right now for only $18,777. Cash for Cluckers program.
Montana Airway. Let's go.
Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
You got Facebook going on there?
I'm getting there.
In the process, putting Larry Francis on Facebook.
I lost his picture in here.
Oh, you don't worry. Anyway, we got Larry Francis in here and the mayor business that he was in. Also, you were going to talk about something about a ghost tour.
A ghost tour coming up on May 29th. There's a ghost, 25th, excuse me. May 25th, there's a mining ghost town tour that's being sponsored by the Frontera Land Alliance, and they'd like you to join us for a trip and a mining ghost tour in the New Mexico desert. Archaeologist Valerie Provencio, who's been a guest here, she's an archaeologist. She'll lead you through this history of the Hachita and the surrounding area.
Where's that?
Hachita's over by I want to say Palomas. It's near Palomas, but it's past Columbus a little bit.
Okay.
Columbus, New Mexico. And they're going to meet at Rudy's barbecue place out there at I-10 and Art Craft. And they're going to drive out there together, and they're going to meet
shortly
after 8 a.m. Yeah, so what you need to do is, they didn't give me a phone number. You need to RSVP to Benny@FronteraLandAlliance.org, and you can find out all that information. And also another great thing that's coming up, we must not forget, we got Memorial Day coming up, and that's the 27th of May at 10 a.m. at Concordia Cemetery. They are going to be honoring the Forgotten Veterans of Concordia, and that's at 3700 East Yandell Street in the go through the Buffalo Soldier Monument area, and we're going to be remembering all the veterans who gave their ultimate sacrifice for our country, and especially the 270 identified soldiers that are there from the Mexican-American War through the Vietnam War. So if you're interested in getting involved or you'd like more information, contact Gloria Cordero at 479-3779. But it's a great event. It's a really great way to honor people that have definitely been forgotten.
And it's a great cemetery. What you guys do out there, you display the place for people.
Oh, it's great. I mean, you got a group of volunteers that work so hard.
All right, we have Larry Francis in here, and we got a caller coming up here real quick. But Larry, finish that story about the bankruptcy. Ended up that the bankruptcy required the sale of those downtown buildings?
Right. When the whole thing was settled, the company had to sell all those assets for whatever they could get for them. And they got out of the real estate business. They were doing that under the auspices of Franklin Land, you may recall.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was closed down.
Okay. Moving on to a caller here. We need to hear some more about those details. Let's go to a caller here. And Johnny is on the radio. Hey, Johnny, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Getting a very good history lesson here, and I've been here quite a few years like you guys, but Mr. Francis really laying it out there.
Some details, a lot of details.
Yes, I remember when he was elected, and for the benefit of the people who don't know him, he has, to me and to the rest of us at the time, thought that he had a real strong resemblance to the comedian actor Jerry Lewis.
That's right.
My question to the mayor, I know he said he goes out of town. He was going out of town for different business reasons. Did he ever get approached in airports and places like that and get mistaken for the actor?
Oh, I did.
But did you really?
My son and daughter-in-law took Marilyn and I on a Caribbean cruise years ago. And as I would go around the boat, people had come up to me and says, aren't you Jerry? He was, by the way, he was the actor or the entertainment on the boat.
Oh, so you were on the same boat with the guy?
Yeah.
So oh,
they,
my Lord.
So they, there, you, the two of you were there.
And so they'd come up to me, aren't you Jerry Lewis? No, I'm not. I'm Larry Francis. After about 10 times, this lady says this to me, and I says, oh, yeah, I'm Jerry. You want my autograph?
Why not?
Did you get your front row seats?
Yeah, come to my room number later. Yeah, sure, no. Johnny, you got that figured out.
Excuse me?
You got that figured out. He did get recognized.
Yeah, I figured he had to because, as I said, I haven't seen him in years, but he had a strong. That's the first thing I thought about when he got elected. I said, boy, we got Jerry Lewis.
Right.
Our new mayor.
Well, second hour, he's got new material.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, indeed.
Listen then, okay?
Thanks a lot. In second hour, he's got new material. We're going to have him try it out. The Jerry Lewis material.
Well, you know, you got second best.
we haven't heard from Johnny in a while.
Well, yeah. Johnny's out there.
He's
a
good guy.
Well, there's a lot of history in El Paso, and this is an interesting moment. Johnny knows a lot of stuff. But to hear these kind of details come out years later, like, okay, this is what really happened.
Yeah.
We got more of that second hour.
I can imagine this. He ran, you were two terms, and then you ran one more time. You made a comeback.
Yeah, that was my ego. After Carlos was mayor for two terms, and that's an interesting story in itself. Ray Tejas, who was one of my council members, decided to run because I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Ray had a little bit of an issue. So,
oops.
There's the music. Speaking of an issue, I'm going to have to ask you to stop that in mid-flight. And come back after the news and tell us about mayors you knew other than yourself. So there. See you after the news.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.